So I was tucking in my 7-year-old about 10 days ago, and we were talking about what was happening in Israel with the war and about Jesus protecting Israel, God watching over Israel. And then it ended up in this long conversation about Jesus returning to Jerusalem and ruling and reigning there. And then Ethan turned to me and said, "So will we get to see God?" He goes, "I know we'll get to see Jesus, but will we get to see God?" I said, "Yes, we will. At the very end, Revelation tells us that God Almighty brings his throne down and we get to see him face to face." And Ethan goes, "Anytime we want?" I said, "Anytime we want." And then he turns to me, he's getting all excited. He goes, "Dad, how about on those days we cancel church and go to Jerusalem and worship him there?" I said, "That's a great idea, son. We will cancel church on those days and go and worship him there." I'm speaking this morning about blessings. We need the blessings of God in these days. He has called us to be a blessed people and to be a blessing. In Numbers chapter 6, verse 22, God initiates the blessing process. He initiates it. He says to Moses, "Tell Aaron and the sons, this is how they should bless the people." So it started in the heart of God. Blessings for you and I, blessings for his people, starts in the heart of God. And he says, "This is how they are to bless the Israelites. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you," or his countenance, "and give you peace. So the priests, they will put my name on the Israelites, and I will bless them." Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for all good things that come from your hand, Lord. We thank you that you initiate the blessing in our lives, Lord. You're not just creator, redeemer, restorer, Lord, but you're the God of blessings, many blessings. And your heart is that we may walk in the blessings that you have for us. We thank you, Lord, for this truth. And we ask that today as we look at this, Lord, as we look at the blessings of God, Lord, that we would understand your heart for us. We would understand the bigness of what you're doing. And we would walk in your ways all our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I've called this sermon, Facing Your Blessings. Facing Your Blessings. I called it Facing Your Blessings because you notice in this directions that God gave them, there's really only three statements that priests were supposed to make. The Lord bless you and keep you. And then the Lord shine the light of his face upon you and be gracious unto you. And third, the Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. That's it. So two out of the three have to do with the face of God. Did you catch that? It says the Lord make his face shine upon you and the Lord turn his face towards you. And when God said, when the priest spoke that proclamation over the people, that he would bless them. He doesn't keep us guessing as to how to walk in his blessings. He says, "I will bless you if the priest bless you like this." So he's giving us a key here. Two out of the three have to do with the face of God. So we're going to talk about facing your blessings, unlocking his blessings in our life. We'll unpack it a little bit. But in the simple sense, what does the face represent? It's the identity of the person, isn't it? It's who they are. If you're looking to meet someone in a crowd, you only recognize them by how, usually, unless they have odd clothes on that you're used to seeing them with. But body-wise, you usually recognize them by their face. If you see a photo of just the neck down, you say, "Well, I have no idea who's in this photo," right? Because the face is how we recognize people. Describes a person's attributes. I found this out one day while I was sitting at the Charlotte Douglas Airport. I had arrived early to pick up my family who was flying in, and I hadn't checked the flight monitors before I left home, and their flight had been delayed for a couple hours. So I got some time to spend at the Charlotte Douglas Airport. So naturally having lots of time, I thought, well, I need to spend the time doing something. I can't just sit here. But I was sitting. I didn't want to walk around. I was tired. So I sat at the bottom of the escalator, you know, where the people coming from the incoming flights, where they come down. And because when you're waiting for that person, it's always exciting, isn't it? You're waiting. You're watching the escalator, and you see their shoes. Is that them? Is that them? But then this ended up something. So I sat at the bottom of the escalator on a chair, and I thought, I'm going to see if I can guess the age and the nationality of people coming down before I see their face. Because, you know, the level, it, you know, you see their shoes and then you see their knees and then their, and I thought, you know, by the time I hit their waist, I'm gonna predict their rough age and maybe their nationality. Thought I would just try it. And so first one comes down and I see the shoes and I'm thinking, okay. And then I see the knees and I see the waist and I'm like, okay, 40-year-old Chinese businessman. And then the person's face comes up, and it's a 60-year-old Hungarian woman. I thought, man, I was off. And so I kept trying this, and no matter how much I tried, I was way off every single time. And it gave me a clue. You have to see their face. I couldn't even tell you their age or their nationality without it. Everything about the person is in the face. And so when God talks about the importance of his face, it's repeated, not just for emphasis, but it's repeated for also, there's two aspects that I want to talk about. His face, the sum of his being. In this Numbers 6 passage, I want to talk about two things about his face. The first, when he talks about that the priests are to say, the Lord make his face shine upon you. And the second, the Lord turn his face towards you. So the first one, I believe they tell us that we need the power and we need the presence of God. That's what I believe those attributes are describing. We need the power and we need the presence of God. Because when he says, when he may make the light of your face shine upon you, I believe he's talking about the power of God. I get that by looking at Psalm chapter 44. Speaking of Israel's victories over their enemies, it says in verse 3, it was not by their sword that they won the land, nor did their arm bring them victory. It was your right hand, your arm, and the light of your face. It brought Israel victory. The light of his face. It is powerful to save. It is mighty. It's the power of God. So the light of God's face here represents his power to overcome, protection, and strength that we need. It's a blessing, right? This is how we get blessed. We walk in the power and the protection of our God. And then in verse 26 of Numbers, it says, the Lord turn his face towards you. The turning of his face has to do with his presence with us. His abiding presence has to do with relationship. When God turns his face towards you, he gives you his attention. He says, let us talk together. Let us walk together. It's relationship. It's his presence with us. It's the friendship and intimacy that God desires from us, which is required if we are to be a blessed people. We have to have his presence with us. There's no blessing outside of it. We have to have his abiding presence in our life. And that turning of his face means he draws near to us. And we experience him. We hear him. And by through the eyes of faith, we see him. We see his expression. We see his mood. You know, nothing communicates mood like the face. I can tell in half a second what mood my wife is in when I walk in the house and I see the look on her face. I say, boy, I better get my act together. Or I say, hey, how was your day, honey? I know from the look on her face. Have you ever met people whose expression on their face doesn't match the emotion they're communicating through their mouth? It's very awkward and weird. My cousin used to do this to me. I used to tell him a joke, and he would say, oh, I get it. That's really funny. And I'd look at him, and I'm like, he's just deadpanned. He's like, that's really funny. I'm like, do you get it? Because usually when people get it and it's funny, they show it on their face. Your face isn't matching your emotion. It's the strangest thing. My pastor up in Vancouver, he used to, and spouses know this, when something happens to your spouse that may injure them or hurt them, not in a real bad way, but you kind of laugh because it looks kind of funny, and then you realize they're really hurt, but you're still kind of laughing about it, and you're like, I'm really sorry, and you're kind of chuckling. Well, you know, and they look at you and say, yeah, I can tell you're really sorry, you know, quit your laughing. And my pastor in Vancouver, his wife used to have a saying. When he would say that, when he would apologize for something, she would say, yeah, your face suits your grief. In other words, you're saying it, but your face ain't meaning it. You know, your face suits your grief. It's like, yeah, right. So God's face expresses his mood, expresses his relationship with you and I, his presence. And when he turns his face towards us, his abiding close presence, the nearness of him with us, that's what we need to receive his blessings. So the face of God in these two ways describe the power and the presence of God in our lives. And we really need the power and the presence of God in our lives these days. We really need it. I don't know if you've noticed, but we desperately need God's blessings in our lives these days. Jerry Marty noticed when she sent out an email this week. After all the attacks were going out, she sent out an email to the church. She's our prayer email coordinator, and she started, most of you got it, and said, "Dear church family, I am angry." She goes, "I practiced that shouting that pastor's been talking about in my car because the enemy was attacking on all sides." And she's the prayer update person. She was getting one after another, after another, after another. And it was like, it was just getting bombarded. And it was enough. It's like, no, this is our family. This is our church. Get your hands off, enemy. That's what she was feeling. But we need the power of God. We can't just feel like that. We have to activate something of the blessing of God, the power of God, to see it manifest and make a difference. So we need it these days. It's not a luxury anymore. The presence and power of God, often we go through life thinking, oh yeah, I felt God's presence. It's wonderful. It's not a luxury anymore, church. It's a necessity. It is a necessity. Quite honestly, I've never seen such a time of battle and yet such a time of breakthrough that's starting to come in my life. I've never seen it. Because the enemy is not happy about what God is doing here. The restoration of people's lives, hearts, and minds here in this place. The tide of faith rising. Have you felt the tide of faith rising? It has. And here in this church, we're not a Christian country club. We don't pat each other on the back and just navel gaze. I don't know if you've picked it up yet, but we tend to move fairly quickly into the purposes of God in this place, led by our fearless apostle and pastor, Peter Wins. He does nothing slow. That's why God joined me with him as a partner, so I could keep up. So we're moving quickly into the purposes of God in these days, and the enemy does not like it. Because our stated purpose is the same as that of our Lord Jesus, who said this: "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, to open blind eyes, to lift off the oppression, to proclaim the year of God's favor and blessing." And so that's our job. That's what we do in this place. We're breaking curses, demolishing strongholds, taking ground and seeing miracles. It's what we do. 1 John 3:8 summed up the work of Jesus like this. It says, "For this reason the Son of God appeared, to destroy the works of the devil." To destroy them. And so anytime the church of God joins with their champion to destroy the works of the enemy and take some ground, there's backlash. And that's why we need more than ever the presence and the power of our God. We need his blessings. We need his face to shine upon us, to be turned towards us in these days. God's glory is coming. His glory is coming, and the devil knows it too. He's read it in your Bible. He's read it, and he knows. It says, "The glory of the Lord shall cover the earth as the waters cover the sea." So what does he do? This enemy of ours, he does everything he can to stop it, except he can't. So, because he can't stop it, the glory of God coming, but maybe he can stop you. Maybe he can stop you. So that's what he does. He targets us individually, hits your family, hits you, and says, "I can't stop God's glory from coming, but I can do my best to stop you." And this is our battle now, church. This is where it's at. This is what it's come to. The enemy is coming after you to punch your lights out. Literally, your lights out. Spiritually speaking, he's trying to dampen the light that's inside of you and get you distracted. He can't kill you. He knows that. because he doesn't have those keys anymore. The King of Glory took those keys from him when he descended after he died on the cross. So the enemy of your soul cannot kill you. He doesn't have those keys, but he can distract and try to destroy your walk with the Lord. So he hits you, hits your finances, hits your relationships. He hits your family. He hits your health. He hits your faith. That's what he's trying to do. And the whole reason he's trying to do this is to dim your light. At the very least, to distract or discourage you, to preoccupy you, make you despondent about the darkness all around. That's a strategy. And let me tell you, church, dark days are ahead. Not just because Satan's having his will on the earth, no. Dark days are ahead because God said it would. God said it would come because of judgments and sin in our nation, right? Days of judgment are coming to this land. Judgment and darkness are coming to America. But that doesn't mean you have to dwell in darkness. It doesn't mean you dwell in darkness. You know, when the plague of darkness came to Egypt, the judgment of darkness came to Egypt, it was dark day and night everywhere except where the people of God were. It was light there. They had light. God drew a line in this Egyptian sand. And he said, my people will have my light. So it should be with us, church. I'm here to tell you that darkness has no place in your life. Even if it's all around you, it doesn't belong on you. Because you are a child of the light. You are a child of the God whose the light of his face shines upon you. So the darkness may be all around us, but it doesn't matter. Gross darkness will cover the earth and over the people. Isn't that what it says? But my light will shine upon you, says the Lord. My light. The light of my face, says God, will shine upon you in the dark days. So we do not need to fear the dark. We need to find his face. That's what we need to do. Seek his face. Find the light of his face so we shine all the brighter. There's no force of darkness that can stop the light of God. Did you know that? No force of darkness stops the light. You can have pitch black and you light a little candle and you can see it from miles away. Light is way more powerful than darkness, and God is infinitely more powerful than our enemy. Infinitely. So there's no force of darkness that can stop the light of God from rising. It's powerful. So many times in Scripture, it talks about the splendor of the majesty of God, the brilliance of the light from his face. Even while on the earth, we saw a glimpse once in a while in Jesus. He leaked. It was inside of him. And on the Mount of Transfiguration, God's face went, and he shone. The disciples that were there said his face shone like the sun because God's face was turned towards Jesus. That's the light of God's face. And when in Daniel, again in Revelation, when he reveals himself to John, Jesus does, it says his face was like lightning or like the sun in all its brilliance. That's the light of God that's in his face. That's just what we've experienced here on earth. In the throne room, forget about it. It is so bright up there. There's so much light surrounding the throne of the great I Am that those who catch a glimpse can't even take it in. It's so much. 1 Timothy 6:15 describes him as God, the blessed and only ruler, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, who alone is immortal and who lives or dwells in unapproachable light. No one has seen him or can see him. This is our God. He's terrifying in splendor, too awesome to behold. And in Revelation 20, at the end of time, when John sees the great white throne come down, and he who is seated on it, says in verse 12, earth and sky fled from his presence. There was no place for them. See, God revealed the splendor of his face, and all of earth and the sky said, we can't take it. It's too much. And they fled. But there was no room found for them because the light of the glory of his face was everywhere. It was everywhere. That's the power of the face of God. And he's on our side. Actually, we're on his side. Choose you this day whom you will serve. I'm going to go with that one. I'm going to go with the God of unapproachable light. So no matter what darkness surrounds you these days, if God shines his light on you, it is enough. If he shines his face on you, it is powerful to dispel and destroy every shred of evil attack against you. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. Why? Because the God of unapproachable light shines his face on you. We read in Psalm, as we read in Psalm 44, it's not by our sword that we win the land, nor does our arm bring us victory. It is by your right hand, your arm, and the light of your face, for you love them. It says that in Psalm 44, verse 3. It says, it was the light of your face, for you love them. This is perhaps the most amazing aspect of this God who dwells in unapproachable light, that he loves you. He's awesome in splendor. He's terrifying in power. But he loves you. And he delivers you. Not just because he can. It says it right here. The light of his face delivered them, for he loved them. The light of his face delivers you because he loves you. The story of God is a story of God and man is a story of relationship. For God so loved the world, you and I, and the whole world, that he sent his Son so that he could restore the broken relationship between God and man so that we could see his face again. It's about relationship. That's what God desires. That's why he sent Jesus to redeem. He longs for it with you. He longs for the face-to-face. Adam and God walked together in the garden. They walked and they talked face to face. Deuteronomy 34:10 says that the Lord knew Moses face to face. Okay? Earlier it said, God said to Miriam and Aaron, I speak to Moses face to face as a friend does. But here it says, God knew Moses face to face. When Moses came into his presence, God said, I know your face. I know your face. That's God's desire for you. He wants to see your face. Your face. In Jeremiah 32:33, God laments Israel's sin and says this, they turn their backs to me and not their faces. He's saying, instead of, I wanted to see your face, but you turned your back. God's wanting to see the face of his people. You see? He wanted them to turn their faces. This God of terrifying light wants to look at you face to face. And for most of us, this is extremely uncomfortable. Because when he's that bright and awesome, and when his eyes penetrate as they do, he sees it all. Doesn't just see our church best. He sees it all. He sees the depths of our soul, and we feel unworthy, don't we? We feel like David did after his sin with Bathsheba was uncovered. In Psalm chapter 51, where he says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit in me. He says, cast me not away from your presence, and don't take your Holy Spirit from me. He says, don't take it from me, Lord. I need your presence. But look what he says in verse 9. David says, but Lord, hide your face from my sin and blot out my iniquity. Although David cried out for God's presence, he was saying, God, I need your presence, but don't look here, Lord. It's messed up. Don't look here. It's ugly.
And the tendency is for us to turn our face away because we don't want him to see. He knows anyway, but we don't want him to see. We say, Lord, turn your face from my sin, and he won't. He keeps looking at us. You know, Liz tells the story of when she was in elementary school, they had a church school that her mom and dad led, that Peter was the principal of this school, but when he went out of town, Joy was the principal for these students. And, you know, as would happen in the course of a school day, one of the kids would get in trouble and be sent to the principal's office. So they would be sat down in the principal's office, and of course, this is back in the day where you could get the strap. You know, it was good enforcement for good behavior and bad enforcement for bad behavior. So the kids feared the strap. And Liz tells a story of one of the kids coming back and their face was just like shocked. And she goes, all the kids said to this kid, did you get the strap? He said, no, it was worse. He goes, Mrs. Wins, she just sat there and stared at me. She didn't say a word. She just stared at me. And that was, she didn't need to say anything. That was enough. But it can be like that with God when he stares at us, when he looks upon us and we think, God, it's not comfortable. And we look away because we're ashamed of the sin. But then you hear his voice as you turned away. And the Lord says to you, look at me. Turn your face to me. Let me see your face. And you say, God, it's too difficult. You know how messed up this heart is. And the Lord says, look at me, son. Look at me, daughter. Look at me. And then we look and turn, and in his eyes, they're radiant, but there's a love there that burns you to the core. The love that burns you to the core. The longer you look at him, the more his love overwhelms and the more his love burns away the chaff. He's already forgiven your sin because when he looks at you, he sees his son. You understand that? When you receive Jesus and you say, I'm blood washed, as we celebrated today, you say, Lord, I'm under your blood. So when God looks at us, he sees his son, whom he is well pleased with. So he's already taken away your sin. But if you want it removed from your life, from being a constant struggle and hindrance in your life, you want that blessing, then look into his face. Spend time looking into God. Present yourself. Say, God, here's my face. Here's my identity. Here's my everything. And you let him, let the Holy Spirit come and do his purging work. It's easy to pull away because it's uncomfortable. But God says, stay with me. Look at me. Let my face shine upon you. As I turn my face to you, turn your face to me, he says. He wants to look at your face. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says this, and we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into his likeness with ever increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is Spirit. You see, he doesn't have to wait for us to get everything straightened out before he transforms us. He says, just look at me. Just show me your face. And as you unveil your face, you begin to glow like Moses did. You know, when Moses spent time with the Lord, the Israelites couldn't even look at Moses because his face shone because he had been with the Lord. But Moses had to put a veil on for the people's sake. And then after a while, the glory faded. Lord says it's not like that with us anymore. It's not about an experience and then the glory fades. It's about transformation into glory to glory. That's what he's doing. This word transforms you is the exact same word they used at the transfiguration. When it says Jesus' face was transfigured It's the same for the glory of God transforming you so your face will glow like his did on that day if you will look at him. If we look with unveiled face and let his spirit take his time and search the depths of our heart, he burns away that which is not of him. He transforms us into his glory. Aren't you glad we have a loving God? We have a loving God. And he says, I know you. I made you. I know everything you've done. I also know you've accepted my son. And I want you to know that I want you to look into my face and let me glorify you and shine my light on your face. He transforms us with his light. You know, my mom passed away last October after that battle with pancreatic cancer. And there was a couple that went to go see them the week before she passed. And she emailed my dad, the lady of the couple emailed my dad in the following days saying it was such a privilege to come, and the presence of God was just so evident in their apartment where they were living. And then she said this, but Margaret's eyes, my mom was Margaret, she said, but Margaret's eyes, she goes, I couldn't stop looking at them. They were so clear. They were so bright blue. She was beholding the Father. She was starting to have her life transformed, and it was shining through her eyes. It was shining through her face because she took all that she was and she looked into the face of her God in her final days. She looked into his face and her eyes became clear like pools of water. With an unveiled face, she was looking upon him and she was shining. And now she had the biggest veil taken off and she beholds God Almighty with an unveiled face. But it doesn't have to wait for that moment, church. It says right here, we who with unveiled faces are being transformed. That's now. Unveil your face now before the God of unapproachable light. Let him shine his face on you. So God says, seek my face. Seek my face, he says. How do we do that? You don't seek for something with your feet. You don't seek for something just with your ears, trying to hear God. You seek him with your face. Face to face. Eyes. He won't open the eyes of my heart, Lord. I want to see you. Spend that time in the Lord's presence and say, Lord, I need to see you. Let me see you, Lord. Transform this life through the power of your light. Give me your presence, God. Then you will find the blessings of God. If you do that, you will find answers to prayer. You will find forgiveness. You will find healing. How do I know this? 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face. Seek my face with their face and turn from their wicked ways. Then I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. We have to seek the face of God these days if we want God's healing and blessings. And we do, don't we? We do. We have to seek his face. It was God himself who gave the instructions to his people in Numbers 6, where he initiated the blessings of God and said, if you want to find my blessings, then have the priests bless you like this. And he gave us these keys. He said, have them proclaim the light of my face upon my people for protection and power to deliver them from the hand of the enemy. And then proclaim the turning of my face towards my people. The kindness of God to draw near to you. To be close to you. Only seek my face, says the Lord. See, God can turn his face towards you. But if we do this, and we miss the blessings, the Lord says, no, look at me. seek my face with your face and let the light of my face shine upon you and give you peace. See, that's the thing. God doesn't stare at you to condemn you. He wants to bring you peace. Peace that you've never known. Peace that only comes from the abiding presence of his face. We need the blessings of God in our life. We need his power and his presence. Let's stand and pray. God of all grace, I thank you that you desire relationship with us, your people. Lord, you desire our hearts, our lives. Lord, you desire to bless us, and so you gave us these words that we may live by them. Lord, we as a people, we need your power in these days. Lord, we need the shining light of your face to go before us and break through the darkness, Lord, that surrounds us. Lord, I pray for the light of God to come upon your people in these days, to see supernatural signs and wonders, Lord, because your face is shining upon your people. Lord, we lift up Israel to you, and we say, Lord, may your face shine upon them, Lord, to deliver them from all their enemies. Lord, to be strong deliverer for them. Lord, we as your people, as your church, we need your power. We need the light of your face to shine upon us, Lord. Lord, and we need your abiding presence. Will you turn your face towards your people today? Lord, will you turn your face to us? Lord, and may we as your people hear the cry of Almighty God that says, seek my face, church. Seek my face, son. Seek my face, daughter. And let me do a work in you that shines my light upon you and brings you and I to the glory of Almighty God. Lord, we thank you. You're transforming us into your image. Lord, we ask that we would not shy away, Lord, when your light shines upon us. Lord, but you would give us the desire to look at you and to allow you to come and change everything with the light of your presence. And now I speak this blessing over you, people of God. I say the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you. May he turn his face towards you in these days and give you peace. And so I bless you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Go now in peace.